Acts and then Romans. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 if you'd like to follow along there, in addition to the Mark text in chapter 13. So, I'm joining you today. I hope you can hear me okay. Judy, give me a thumbs up or let me know if the audio's working okay. You may hear a little rain in the background, and then my scenery is not so illustrious today. I'm just standing before a window glass, but I'm joining you today from Destin, Florida. Manya and I decided to take a few days off here. Her birthday was the day of Thanksgiving, so I had a special Thanksgiving in many ways this year. So we slipped off here, just the two of us, to get away and have some wonderful food and relaxation. It's been a great trip. We'll be returning tomorrow. But as I said, today I'm on the back patio instead of the beach broadcasting for you because it's raining here today. So I hope that rain, in a midst with my preaching, doesn't put you to sleep this morning. But bear with me. We'll only be together about 15 or 20 minutes. But, you know, part of the fun that we've had on this trip, and I wonder if this is how it is for many of you too. Part of the fun of a trip is the expectation, the getting ready, right? The planning, the knowing that you're going to have a restful time, a joyous time, a time to get away. Manya had her suitcase out days before the trip, planning and preparing and excited about our journey, as was I. Isn't that the case for us even at our youngest age? You remember as we approach this Christmas season, as a child, even as a young child, it was that expectation. They even wrote songs about it, right? Christmas is coming. My grandma, my mama Gladys used to sing this song. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat. Oh, to have a penny to put in the old man's hat. If you don't have a penny, a half penny will do. If you don't have a half penny, God bless you. But that spoke of the expectancy of Christmas, a day of gift receiving when we were so young, and now as older folks, a day mostly of gift giving. But isn't there a joy, parents, and those who live outside of ourselves and our faith, of the gift of giving, maybe even in some ways beyond receiving? So as I share this expectancy of our trip, the expectancy of Christmas for the youngest hearts, we begin this Advent season, this journey of remembering with expectancy that our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, will come to us in power and in glory, as our scriptures speak of today. You know, isn't that message of hope especially timely for us during the year 2020? I've seen many memes on Facebook and the internet where it shows people trying to last through 2020, this year that's been unlike any other for many of us, and even beyond the sickness and separation and apparel, many of us have known individual struggles in our families, perhaps our faith, in our health, in our work, in our profession. So as we hear this message of hope this morning, it reminds us that, friends, Almighty God will reign supremely when Jesus comes in His power and glory. In other words, not only will 2020 not last, but the brokenness of this world, friends, will not last. It will not win. In Christ Jesus, when we hope in Him, we have a lasting glory in heaven that will never end. May we be strengthened when we're going through sickness, like Tony is now, going through the COVID. May we know that just as these temporary brokennesses and illnesses will be conquered, in Christ we have a future glory. friends, that is without end. That is the hope of our faith and in our Scripture. But maybe you're asking, okay, preacher, I understand. I get it. I hear there is a hope. There's a future glory coming in our faith when we all get to heaven, right as we sang about in that old gospel song. But, preacher, what about now? What can you give me, Jody, to sustain me through the hardships that I'm going in now? You see, that's what I sought for in our Scripture today. Not only the hope to come, as though that were not enough, but what is the promise of our faith to sustain us and strengthen us even now? You see, here's what I believe, friends. In our Scripture, as we hear in our text today that Christ will come in power and glory, that those same gifts are evident to us now. Here's what I mean. You might remember last week that I began speaking about that the efforts of our faith, the joy of our faith, is found not when we do things that are simply self-serving, right? But when we seek to serve most of all the Master in heaven for God's glory. When we seek to serve for God's glory, we know a joy because we're living beyond self. And when we seek to serve for God's glory, it also benefits all of God's creation, all of our brothers and sisters in faith, and it makes the world more representative of the love that Christ brought to all. So, as we hear in this text today, understand with me, as we have a promised hope that Christ will come in power and glory, hear this, friends. Why don't we live by that even now? Doesn't that make sense? If that's what the reward of heaven is going to be, where Almighty God is glorified and we are protected with God's power, what if we strive to live by those two standards even more prominently now, bringing God glory and finding God's power to strengthen us? Here's how we do it. In 1 Corinthians that I referenced to you earlier, in chapter 1, we hear where Paul, the great evangelist of the church, says this. He said, I thank my God every time I pray for you because of the grace given to you in Christ Jesus. And here's what he says that grace has done for us. It's enriched us, made us stronger in speech and in knowledge, strengthened among you, among those around you in Christ. He says so that we will not be lacking anything when Christ comes to be revealed. Now here's what I hear Paul saying there. I hear Paul saying that God strengthens us even now when we seek to live out our faith in a way to bring glory to the Father. Now doesn't that make sense? The Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father seek to serve one another through grace and love. So the promise that Paul says that I hear there today, if I get out of myself as Jody, if I seek to glorify the Father, guess what the Spirit's going to do? The Spirit's going to strengthen me with a power from above to face whatever comes at me in this world, so that I'll be enriched, as Paul said, that I'll be strengthened, that I can endure the perils of this life even now. How about that, friends? You see how our God turns everything upside down? In the surface, in our carnal state, when we as broken sinners, as we all are, our motives oftentimes, when they're raw, is to serve self, to look out for number one, right? But our God challenges us to approach life in another way, to serve not only self, but to serve the other, and most of all, serve the Father for His glory. And this is what happens. When we seek to serve the other and serve our God, we have a strength that we would have never known had we simply been serving self. Friends, That's not preacher talk. That's not just Paul saying that in Scripture. I preach that because I've lived that. I've sought self-service. I've sought selfish motives, tempting things in my life, instant gratification, and they always left me empty. Perhaps you've had that experience too. But if you want strength to endure the 2020s of this world, if you want strength to endure marriage challenges, professional surprises, things that we're going through as a nation right now, friends, if we want the strength that Paul talks about, the strength that Christ will come about, here's what I want to say it again, then may you seek, and all of us together, to bring glory to the Father through our lives, and then we will be strengthened from on high. Now, I think this approach even emphasizes not only our spiritual life, but our businesses and our daily relationship choices. Some of you may have heard of the marshmallow test that was taken in Stanford University in 1972. And the marshmallow test was very simple. They gathered kids from like the ages of 3 to 5, and they offered them a challenge. They said, sit with me in this room. And they placed a marshmallow in front of them. They said, I'm going to leave the room for about 15 minutes. And you can have this marshmallow right now. But if you wait while I'm gone and put off your reward, you're going to get 2 marshmallows. And what they found of the kids who were willing to wait, they found that many of them went on to a much more fruitful life. They had higher SAT scores, ACTs. They accomplished better grades in college. And many of them even had a more balanced life, mentally and emotionally, perhaps even spiritually. It was this understanding of those who were willing to delay satisfaction for a bit that cherished more fullness in life. Friends, this is the hope that we have. In Jesus Christ, we will certainly have a gratification that will last forever. But the promise and strength for us now is that we don't have to delay all of the marshmallows, all of the glory, all of the wonderful taste of journeying with God. No, when we seek to live out ourselves and bring glory to God, we know a joy even now. You know, I've shared with many of you before, when I first started my pastorate, I was driven much for success. I played college football, as some of you know, and so much of it was about wins and losses and success and achieving the highest level of accomplishment. And I approached my ministry in that way as a young person in the pastorate. I even had dreams of being a huge mega church pastor. Well, you see, there's nothing wrong with mega church ministries. They do wonderful work in our world. But the problem was that my desire was for it to all be about serving me. I wanted to reach fame. I wanted to be acclaimed in many ways, instead of placing most of my emphasis on glorifying the Father. I wanted to succeed in my ministry. You see, true success in ministry is not about the numbers. It's about the love and bringing glory to the one we serve. You see, when we seek to serve God, when we seek to glorify the Father, there will be fruit in our ministry as professional pastors, and as you, many of you listening, as professional Christians. There's nothing wrong with success. We need success, and we need to accomplish greatness through our life and faith. But it must not be about serving only me. It must be about serving the Father and giving love to the world around us. Friends, I'm convinced that in this season, these challenges of 2020, these challenges in our nation, this time of great temptation in our world, that there is a power, as Paul preached about. And friends, I want to unleash that power to you and me today. There is a strength from on high to sustain us through every hardship this world gives. Will you receive that power with me today? That power is found when we receive that gift from the Holy Spirit, when we seek not to be self-serving, but to serve this world around us through the love and grace we've received, to the glory for the Father above. I promise you, when you do that, you'll have a power to strengthen you and overcome whatever you face in the brokenness of our world. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you for your words of life. We are grateful that the promise of Advent reminds us that we have an eternal hope simply when we trust in you, Almighty God. Our salvation is rooted in knowing that we need a Savior. May you speak those words of life into any who are listening today who've never claimed that gift of salvation. May they have your peace flood upon them right now to simply know, in trusting you, Christ, in simply saying, "Oh Lord, I need hope eternal," that your gift of love will pour forth on them at this moment and forever, that gift of salvation. And God, even as we journey toward heaven and glory and the hope we have, may we receive the promise of this text today that reminds us that you empower us, you enrich us even now when we seek to live beyond ourselves. There's a joy beyond anything this world can give. We pray your blessing, O God, upon your church, regardless of denomination or location, wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed. Will you inspire and empower your people in ministry? We pray for our nation, for unity, for reconciliation, that we as a nation celebrate our love for this country and what we hold in common more than anything that can divide us. We pray for our sick friends and family members, those we've posted here today. We celebrate the recovery of Steve and Shay and others. We ask you to continue to be with Tony and all of our loved ones who are journeying through sickness and sorrows. We pray, O God, for our friends and family, for our children, for our parents, for those you've entrusted us to most of all, for our hearts' desires as individuals when they are seeking to glorify you and bring your kingdom come on earth. Will you open the floodgates of heaven with miracles of grace and healing and wholeness? Finally, God, we pray for ourselves. We know that we need you as Savior and to strengthen our life. Will you give us the things that we need daily, O God, to reflect your love in the world around us, that we all may know the joy of your salvation. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.